So what are your chances of being an identity theft victim? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, I've got an answer for you. Just go to prudentmoney.com. There's a couple of ways to get your questions answered. First is the Ask Bob section. That is simply shooting me an email, and I love to hear what's on your mind, and if we can help you, we certainly will want to. And, you know, questions that are easy to answer, don't need a whole lot of email traffic on that. If it's a more complex situation, more moving parts, then you can go to the calendar on the Prudent Money site and pick a dime, and we'll have a phone conference. There's no cost. There's no obligation. It's just a way to roll out resources to help you out and get those questions answered, all at prudentmoney.com. Well, yesterday, I talked a little bit about the data breach, excuse me, consumer breach at AT&T. 77 million people had their personal information compromised. That's an easier way to put stolen. So compromised. And I was thinking about this, and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I was thinking that, you know, for most people, I don't think they see the potential problems that can come of this, of all the data hacks that have happened and all the information that's out there and that the bad people have access to. And there's a lot of different opinions on identity theft and whether it would happen and this type of things. I want to go through just some real numbers and have you see these, because what I would suggest is it's extremely important as you do your financial planning, as you plan for retirement, as you plan for insurance, the various aspects of a financial plan, that you would consider making sure that you had a protection strategy against identity theft. It can be just as easy as freezing your credit reports. You have three of them, and doing it from that. And that way, when you freeze those, you are the only one who can unlock them. It's a little bit of an inconvenience if you still use credit or have the, you know, say you're going to buy a new car, going to buy a house, whatever that might be. You have to unfreeze it, and then they go check it, then you freeze it back. But this way, it's supposed to be, and I haven't heard any reports of anybody's ability to break in, but it is, to my knowledge, the best way to protect your information. But I think it's important that everybody start to look at this as a section of a good, strong financial plan to prevent it from happening. I think a lot of times that just not being careless with your information is a good protection against identity theft. But here, what I did was I went back and looked at the top 15 data breaches and how many people it affect. I think you might be surprised. This goes back to 2013, actually 2012 is the earliest date, and it looks at the biggest data hacks this century. Number one on the list is Yahoo. August 2013, the impact, 3 billion consumer accounts. 3 billion. Number two is a company in another country. I think it's pronounced Adhair, and it's actually tied with Alibaba, which is another foreign company. And one, they're both $1.1 billion. Excuse me, 1.1 billion consumer files that were breached. Number four is LinkedIn, which was June 2021, 700 million users. Then you have another company that I cannot pronounce. It's a China's largest social media platform, 538 million accounts. Facebook, number six, April 2019, 533 million users. Marriott International, September 2018, 500 million customers. Yahoo, again, didn't figure out how to protect the first time. They got broken into a second time, 500 million accounts. MySpace, which I don't even know if that's around anymore, 360 million user accounts. NetEase, 235 million. Experian, and this is a devastating one, 200 million personal records. Now, Experian is one of the credit reporting agencies that one of the three that holds all of your information. Now, think about this with me for a second. If there's 327 million people, and you take out the people that wouldn't really be targeted, which would be, well, you know, I take that back. I think probably the vast majority of the 200 million people that they're probably close to the number, which would be the total number of people in this country. You got to think about it, 327 million, not all those people are going to have an active credit file. But that was, 200 million personal records. And like I said, that is everything that you can imagine. LinkedIn, June 2012, 165 million. Dubs Smash, I don't know what that is. December 2018, 162 million. Adobe, 2013, 153 million. So that's the 15th one. So if you go back, and of course, you know, I had to, couldn't help myself, and count up the number of people that were reportedly affected by breaches into their systems and stolen information. As of 2022, there's 8 billion people in the world and 327 million in the United States. If you go back and you count up the top 15, it comes out to 8.5 billion data hacks. And if you look at just the sheer number of data hacks, and of course, there's going to be a lot of duplicates, but I think what my point is that you get to a point where you feel the probability of your information being out there is probably pretty good. Now, that's not to frighten anybody. That's just an observation. I could be very wrong, but I think I'm pretty much on track. Even if it were 75 or 80% of the people in this country had their information out there, that's a concern. So, at a minimum, I would look into some type of credit monitoring of the three big credit reporting agencies, which is Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And keep in mind that some of your bigger credit cards, like American Express, Discover, Citigroup, the American Airlines, credit card, all have credit monitoring of one of the three. I've never gone back and checked what are the top three credit cards that you, if you applied for them, you'd have credit monitoring along with it. That's a pretty good deal because credit monitoring does cost something. And but it's just that's kind of getting creative. You can do a security freeze, and that will lock up all three credit reports, and you get a code. The only way anybody can get into those is by the use of your code. So that's something that you'd want to keep. I know someone told me that they keep their code in a safe and to make sure that nothing happens to it. But even at a minimum, with a security freeze, you're going to dramatically change your probability of a high probability of having a problem to a low probability. That is, because once someone tries to just take the credit monitoring, for instance, once somebody tries to open an account in your name, you get a notification right away. You can take care of it and make sure that it's not a problem. So keep this in mind and think about what are you going to do to protect your information. And you know, one thing is just being smart. There's a lot, if you look at a lot of emails that come through on a daily basis, many of them are there to get into your computer. They're viruses connected to them, and what a mess that is. So you want to make sure that you're very, very careful of what you click. And that, as a rule of thumb, I call it the golden rule of identity theft. If someone approaches you, do not give them information. Always verify by a phone call to the company that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And good companies don't do that, by the way. So just be careful and be mindful. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. Stick around. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Dynamic, practical, life-changing.
There's no point in going to church and not letting the Christ who gave birth to the church on the day of Pentecost change your life.
Join us each day as Pastor Paul Shepherd applies the timeless truth of Scripture to everyday life. It's Destined for Victory on this great station.
Weekday afternoons at 3:30 here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Hi, I'm Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times. We're very excited to be a part of Bible School Radio. I hope you will join me Saturday, 10 a.m., for cutting-edge guests and the latest information to help you discern the truth, even the inconvenient truth. We'll help you understand our times and contend for the faith. That's Understanding the Times, Saturday at 10 a.m., right here on Bible School Radio or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you have a question for me, you can go to the website. There's two resources there you can take advantage of, one for quicker question-answer type situations, and one for that we have to get a little bit deeper into. So, but we got you covered either way. So that's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Yesterday, we also talked about debt consolidation and what's a real debt consolidation look like and what's a personal loan look like and what you're looking for when you're setting up the real thing and not to fall into the trap of what they're calling a debt consolidation loan, but which is really a situation that's going to bring a rougher situation to make a bad situation even worse. I keep hearing this commercial for one of the companies who sets up these types of programs, and they have a personum amount of my credit card then it'll be 47 years before I pay it off. Now, that could be true. It would take very high interest rates and very low minimum rates to get there. Could be true. But I would suggest that that's maybe 5% of the people have credit cards, that would be the situation. So just keep that in mind. Because what these companies do is they build your hope. They remind you of all the debt that you've got and how hard it's going to be to get out, and you're stuck with this jail cell of a situation for most of your life. Or you can go with us, we can fix the problem, make it go away, no problem. Well, the problem with that is it's not quite the way they describe it to be. So they bring out statistics like the 47 years to pay it off, and go, wow, I didn't realize that. Maybe I should get this company to help. Be very, very careful, because, and you're welcome to, if you're thinking about going that route, you're welcome to send an email to me. Let me look at it and tell you why you probably shouldn't go this route. That's how strongly I feel about it. I did all the research I did on these debt solution companies of my book, Deceptive Money. All found proposals that I would actually call fraudulent, stating a situation was way worse than it was when it actually was. It's like the math didn't add up at all. But that is what they were using to go through and to entice a person to sign up. So another option is the 0% credit card transfer. Now, this is something that on the surface looks like it makes sense. But just remember that the fine print is pretty rough. And what I want to make sure that you check is the situation, am I going to be worse off once the new terms and conditions, the fine print, come to life? So let's say you've got 20 months that you have no interest charged against the money you rolled over. Well, once they put in the new interest rate and start charging you that interest rate, is that potentially going to be worse than what you're already doing? And I would suggest that the answer to that, high probability, yes. So you've got to weigh that out as, is this a good idea? And, you know, the one strategy, and I wouldn't, you got to be real careful on this. It doesn't always work out this way, but it could, is you take out a 0% card, you roll the money over, you get another 0% offer, you roll the money to that one, and you keep rolling it to 0% offers until you get make a real sizable dent into the debt. And there's definitely some pros and cons to that. I'd be careful, but that is something that you could do as well. But what I want you to make sure that you don't do is say that you're in a 17, 18% interest rate card, which is not good. But the best that you can get when these new interest rates come about on your 0% card, let's say, is 18%. They could go all the way up to 29%. And they're basing this on their interpretation of your credit worthiness. And the interest rate will vary with the market based on the prime rate. Remember that none of these credit card interest rates, and I haven't come across one since probably the mid-2000s, that the actual one is locked in. It moves along with the interest rates as the Fed changes the federal funds rate. And boy, did they take advantage of that. They really jumped those interest rates up a lot. But you've got to realize that for you to make this card a perfect situation that you get all the benefits from, You have to be absolutely perfect with it and not make any mistakes, because they will slap that penalty APR or interest rate on you, and it's not a good deal. The penalty rate on this one I'm looking at here is 29.99%. It says this may be applied to your account if you make a late payment or make a payment that is returned. Now, it's pretty easy to make a late payment. It can happen to the most organized of people. So, you know, that's what they're counting on. And I would suggest that the chances of them slapping a 29.99% interest rate on your card is pretty good. So here's the rub, is that I'm just reading to you highlights from the fine print that you can see right off the bat. You don't even get the card agreement, the card member agreement, which is about 18 pages, which tells all the information that this full fine print section leaves out. And you could see how easy it is for this to turn into a bad situation because of one sentence only. We have the right to make changes to the terms of your card account, including rates and fees, in accordance with the card agreement and applicable law. There is no other consumer contract like this anywhere where they can change the rules and they can make your situation way worse than it is. So just know that about credit cards. That's why I'm not real a big fan of changing cards for 0% reasons, because of the potential problems you could end up having. How long, though, if you get to 29.9%, how long will the penalty interest rates apply? If your interest rates are increased for either of these reasons, the penalty interest rate may apply indefinitely. Loss of introductory interest rate. We may end your introductory interest rate and apply the penalty if you make a late payment. We already talked about that. If you're approved for a card account, you'll receive a card agreement before you can use your card account. The terms of the card agreement will take effect once you use your card account. Even if you do not use your card account, the card agreement will take effect if you do not cancel your card within 30 days. So, you know, here's a situation where and I want you to think about this for just a second. A, you're trusting a credit card company. That's a mistake. I think we would all agree they are not a very trustworthy group of people when your best interest, my best interest, is not in their best interest. Yeah, I think I can say that. Backed by many stories of the credit card companies making changes that aren't in the best interest of the cardholder. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you're signing a contract that they can change. Most contracts are contracts that dictate everything that can't be changed and won't be changed in the terms of the agreement right there. But that's not what you're signing. You're signing that an agreement that says we have the right to make changes. Of course, applicable laws have to be respected, but they still can make changes. And those changes can have a negative effect on you. Then the third, and probably my favorite, is that you don't get the real terms and agreement that is located in the card member agreement until you use your card. And if you don't use your card within the first 30 days, then the fine print and all the information that you have no idea that you just signed up for will go into effect after 30 days. Think about that for a second. You don't even know what the fine print is that you're signing yourself up for, because it's in the card agreement, which you don't get until after 30 days or prior to that if you use the card to make a purchase or what, or however you're using the credit card. Go figure that. So be real careful if you're going to change cards just because you're chasing 0%. As with any credit card, they're all, in my opinion, they're all consumer traps. And if you do want to find out the best ways to get out of debt, Deceptive Money is the book that I wrote. And I wrote it back in 2009, but it's still very applicable to today. You can go to the website and get more information on that. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.